In pursuit of lost stuff. The Rolls-Royce was one of the top-of-the-range six-wheeled Phantom 12s. It was as big as a yacht, twice as luxurious, and had paintwork so perfect it looked like a pool of black paint sitting in the air. The chauffeur opened the rear passenger door, and a well-dressed girl climbed out. She was not much older than myself, but from a world far removed from the upbringing of a foundling, a world of privilege, cash, and a sense of entitlement. I should have hated her, but I didn't. I envied her.
"Miss Strange," she said, striding confidently forward, hand outstretched. "Miss Shard is glad to make your acquaintance."
"Who's she talking about?" asked Tiger, under his breath, looking around. "Herself, I think," I said, smiling broadly to welcome her.
"Good morning, Miss Shard. Thank you for coming. I'm Jennifer Strange."
This was our client. She didn't look old enough to have lost something badly enough to call us, but you never knew.
"You must call one Anne," she said kindly. "Your recent exploits of a magical variety filled one with a sense of thrilling trepidation."
She was talking in longspeak, the formal language of the upper classes, and it seemed that she was not fluent in shortspeak, the everyday language of the ununited kingdoms.
"I'm sorry?" "It was a singular display of inspired audaciousness," she replied.
"Is that good?" I asked, still unsure of her meaning.
"Most certainly," she replied. "We followed your adventures with great interest."
"We?"
"Myself and my client, a gentleman of some knowledge, position, and bearing."
She was undoubtedly referring to someone of nobility. By long tradition, royals in the ununited kingdoms employed others to do almost everything for them. Only the very poorest did anything for themselves. It was said that when King Wozzle of Snowdonia tired of eating, he employed someone to do it for him. After the inevitable weight loss and death, he was succeeded by his brother.
"I can't understand a word she's saying," whispered Tiger.
"Tiger," I said, keen to get rid of him before she took offence, "why not fetch Dennis and Lady Morgan, hmm?"
"Were they of a disingenuous countenance?"
Miss Shard asked, smiling politely.
"Were who of what?"
"The dragons," she said. "Were they unpleasant?"
"Not really," I replied in a guarded fashion. Almost everyone wanted to know about the dragons, and I revealed little. They valued discretion more than anything. I said nothing more, and she got the message.
"I defer to your circumspection on this issue," she replied, with a slight bow.
"Okay," I said, not really getting that either.
"This is the team."
Tiger had returned, with Full Price and Lady Morgan, with Perkins bringing up the rear in his observing capacity. I introduced them all, and Miss Shard said something about how it was entirely convivial and felicitous to meet them on this auspicious occasion, and in return they shook hands, but remained wary. It pays to distance oneself from clients, especially ones who use too many long words.
"What do you want us to find?"
asked Lady Morgan, who was always keen to get straight to the point.
"It's a ring that belonged to the mother of my client," she said. "He would be here personally to present his request, but finds himself unavailable, owing to a prolonged sabbatical."
"Has he seen a doctor about it?" asked Tiger.
"About what?"
"His prolonged sabbatical. It sounds very painful."
She stared at him for a moment.
"It means he's on holiday."
"Oh, I apologize for the ignorance of the staff," said Lady Morgan, glaring at Tiger, "but Kazam sadly requires foundling labor to function. Staff can be so difficult these days, wanting frivolous little luxuries like food, shoes, wages, and human dignity."
"Please don't worry," said Miss Shard politely. "Foundlings can be refreshingly direct sometimes."
"About the ring?" I asked, feeling uncomfortable with all this talk of...